Good evening. Tonight I'll be sharing from Psalms 119, verses 1 through 16. The title of the message is The Benefits of God's Word. Okay, just to give a background of Psalms 119, it's a poem written to celebrate the psalmist's devotion and deep love for God's word. He recognizes that God's law, his word, has brought genuine transformation to anyone who's applied it to their lives. And almost every line in this psalm, 176 verses, uses the word law or God's word in some form. And this psalmist wants to learn God's word thoroughly. So just so that he can learn how to obey it. So now we're going to read Psalms 119, verses 1 through 16. The psalmist sees how much of a blessing the law is to him. Okay. Psalm 119, 1 to 16. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your words. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity to come before you and study and learn more about your word, which is your revelation to your people about yourself. God, I do pray tonight that you would open up our hearts, that you would come and minister and help us to understand your love and justice and fairness, God, so that we may worship you in obedience and with a right perspective of you. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So the psalmist is talking about God's word and what a benefit it is. And the first benefit that God's word gives us is that it guides his children. And he uses many different words to describe God's law. And sometimes when we think about the word law, we think of it as something that is rigid or something that is harsh. But that's not how the psalmist sees the Old Testament. He sees the blessedness of God's law. And one of the words he uses to explain God's law is the word law. And what it means is a law is a guideline or an instruction. And he said, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk in the guidelines, instruction of the Lord. So a guideline is something that is there to give direction, advice. And I think any of you here that are students really appreciate when your teacher gives very clear guidelines. It helps give so much more clarity for what you're doing. And parents also give guidelines to their children? Do parents give guidelines for reasons like they want to control their children? Why do parents give guidelines? That's not the reason. The reason is because they have their child's best interest at heart, and they know that there's some things their children will do that will harm them. And they want the best possible circumstances for their children to succeed. So do you hope that your children will listen to the guidelines you give them? I think we all know the answer for that question. So for us, do we obey the guidelines that God gives us? I'm sure he wants us to listen, just like we would want our children to listen. Currently, I am taking a class and I have a lecturer who's teaching the subject, what I consider to be a very important subject, but challenging. And though some may consider the subject difficult, because the lecturer thought how to conduct the class with very clear guidelines, step-by-step instruction, the students, many of us, we're getting understanding, even those of us who are weaker in the subject, because the lecturer is deeply invested in every student, and he wants us to develop and learn. And the students have a great appreciation for this lecture because he makes them be motivated to want to not drop the class, stay in it, because they hope, they actually have hope in their hearts that they can learn. And that's what, you know, that's what someone who loves us does. They give us clear guidelines for our lives because they know what's best for us. So the question that we want to ask ourselves tonight is, can we trust God's guidelines? Do we trust that he has our best interest at heart? And he knows how to protect us from impending danger. The psalmist in this 119, Psalm 119, believes that God's laws are a reflection of his character. And he uses these words to describe God in Psalm 119. He can see who God is through his law. He is loving. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, according to your promises. The earth is filled with your love. God is compassionate. Let your compassion come to me that I might live, that I may live, for your law is my delight. God is faithful. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. And the psalmist can see that who God is through his law. He gets a revelation of God. And actually, God's law is his revelation to his people. That was the purpose of his law. And God's law is an exact mirror of himself. And the psalmist can see that. That when you're meditating on God's law, you're actually meditating on God, because God's law is a reflection of himself. And as the psalmist is learning to meditate on God's word, he sees that all these things in God's law are actually who God is. And this is what he says about God's law. He says that God's law is true. Righteousness is everlasting, and your law is true. All your commands are trustworthy. In Psalm 19:86, this psalmist does not have a perfect life. He has issues. He has adversity. But he can still say that God is trustworthy, even in my suffering. He can say that God's guidelines are sure. He says, I will bring your testimonies before kings unashamedly, because I'm very, very sure of your guidelines are true. He says that God's law is worthy of hope. He says, never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. So through reading and the word, he's able to have genuine hope in God. God's laws showed him that God is worthy of faith. Though the arrogant has smeared me with lies, I will keep your precepts no matter what. And he sees that God is truly blessed. He sees that God is a blessed God. He's worthy of all of our praise. And there's many more attributes of God. But because of his meditation on God, the more and more he does it, he desires God in his innermost being more and more and more. And he can say that the testimonies, which is another word, the second word that I'm talking about, the second word for God's law is testimonies or God's will. And he says that, you know, when he can see God's will being laid out in the word, he wants to follow God's will for his life. And his innermost cry is, I wish that I could obey you more and more and more. And this is coming from a very sincere place, a transformation that's taking place in his spirit that cannot be fabricated. And he says, I wish that I were more loyal in obeying your commands. Learning to seek God's will may not be something that comes naturally to all of us. Sometimes we struggle to seek God's will for our lives. Sometimes we might be afraid to sit and seek God and ask him questions, guidance, ask him, what is your will for my life? Because we might be afraid of his answer. And sometimes it's easier for us to get answers from someone else rather than us seeking God for ourselves. But the psalmist knows that even he needs God to give him motivation to move towards God's will in his life. He says, turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards myself. And even the psalmist says, for I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. So he's asking God, he's seeking God to ask him to help me to do your will, because he knows that he needs help to do God's will. And I think many of us can relate to this. At the same time, many of us can look back on our lives and see the seasons where we trusted what we thought was God's will. We did it. We sought his direction and guidance, and he answered. And he was faithful to help us do his will. Though it may have seemed that being obedient to what God wanted us to do was not always the easiest path in life, there was a great outcome and blessing from those moments when we responded to what God was saying. And the benefits that came from those choices to obey changed our character. And for me personally, I have never seen anyone who was obedient that regretted it later. I never heard anyone say, my life was better before when I was an unprepared person, or my life was better when I had anger, when other people used me, or when I was not a good listener. My life was better then, when I was stubborn and rebellious. I've never heard anyone say that. And, you know, we may not always understand God's ways of guiding, but there are spiritual blessings and godliness that came out of those times we obeyed. We learned responsibility. We learned to respect ourselves. And I have seen people who've obeyed God. Their children and their families benefited. Everybody benefited. And for me personally, when I allowed my life, the areas of my life that I allowed to come under God's direction, have been redeemed and restored. I've become a more equipped person. Every time I did what God told me to do, I learned something. And I had a good experience. And I experienced God's plan was better than what I would have chosen for myself. I may not have taken that step to learn. Many blessings have been opened up for me when I let God lead. And we can ask ourselves, what are the motivations that make people seek God and seek his will? And for this psalmist, one of the things that motivated him to seek God's will was comfort and strength when he was going through difficult times. He said, "The rulers sit together and slander me. Your servant will meditate on your decrees. I'm laid low in the dust. Preserve my life. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your will." During his time of adversity, he sought God for comfort and he received it. And he also received understanding of God's word that helped him to know God even more. And for me personally, one of the things that motivates me to seek God is his compassion and mercy. The compassion and mercy that he's had on me when I have failed or made mistakes. He always came and received me time and time again. And the psalmist writes, "May your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise." And we can see that many people seek God because he's been a comfort during difficult times and he's given compassion and mercy. And this psalmist was also motivated to seek God during times of affliction. Now, what is affliction? This is what he says. He says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good, God, and do good. Teach me your statutes." He said, "It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Now, because I was afflicted and I was confronted and I changed, I know, Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me because you love me." And he says, "Now I will seek you with my whole heart. Do not let me wander away. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise." And sometimes we don't understand when we're going through difficult times, when God is trying to do something in our life. But if we trust God, we will believe there's a purpose for our affliction, and he's refining our relationship with his children, with each one of us. And looking back on my life, there have been times of where God was afflicting me and he wanted me to grow. And it was in the areas that I desperately needed to be strengthened, where I had a weakness of character. That if I left it alone, it would have led to sin and destruction. But I'm grateful for. Hebrews chapter 12:11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, however, it will produce a harvest of righteousness and a peace for those who have been trained by it." Though the path of obedience may seem long sometimes, and trusting the path that God called each one of us to sometimes might seem challenging, but God wants to protect us from the devastating consequences of sin if we choose our own path. Sometimes in the process of following God's will and instruction, we're able to get victory over things that he exposes in the process. Hebrews 12:16 says, "See to it that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance. His inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. Esau regretted his lack of preparation. his lack of discipline, his lack of spiritual growth in his life led him to have a godless character. And God would have helped him. God would have strengthened him and helped him if only he would have asked. God's guidelines are not here to control us, but they're here to be a blessing, to keep us from sin and weaknesses that would destroy us. We can resist or believe in his love, that he'll carry us through the process. And God knows how to direct us on the path of his will. Just like this example of exercise. It's not easy to exercise. It's not easy to get up every day and do it. But I've never seen anyone who lost weight, whose heart became healthier, who had less pressure on their body, their joints, their stress was reduced. I never saw any of them regret it. And that's how it is with God. Everything he leads us on in our path, it benefits us if we trust in his guidance. He knows under which conditions we will thrive, and he knows how to get us there. That's why he calls each one of us to trust him for where he's guiding us. Another benefit of God's word is having the right perspective of God. The psalmist said, "When I learned that your laws were fair, I praised you with an upright heart." What does it mean to have an upright heart? It means to have a sincere heart, a heart that is sincere, something that is motivated by the right reasons. He was not obeying God because he wanted something or he was going to get something from God. And he wasn't praising him because he was doing it with a grudge in his heart. Because he was meditating on God's word, he was sincerely having a revelation of God's fairness, and he wanted to praise him with an upright heart. And the children of Israel were someone that God wanted to guide on his path. They were the ones that God entrusted with his revelation, his law. And in order to obey God's law, they couldn't just do it outwardly. It would require something deeper inside of them to happen internally. And for the children of Israel, even us, who do not let God's word move deep into our hearts in a personal way, we will not be able to embrace God's grace to carry us through and change us. We won't be able to set our hope on him, and we will not be able to obey. The rebellion that the children of Israelites had was not uprooted, and it remained in them. And God gave them a responsibility, but they couldn't do it. Certain perceptions that we have of God can be deeply rooted inside of us. And the children of Israel, they could not humble themselves and let go of the perception they had of God, that he was harsh. God persevered with Israel even when they were not faithful, but they could not see that, and they would have rather held on to the idea that he was harsh than allow him to confront their lack of humility. God would have helped them and carried them, but they didn't seek his grace. They just tried to do it on their own. The final blessing of living in of God's word is living in obedience. The psalmist says, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity by living according to your word?" And he says, "I will seek you with all my heart, and do not let me stray from your commands." The psalmist wants to stay on the path of purity, the path that God has for him. He believes that the way he will be able to stay on God's path, God's will, is not just by reading God's word, but by following God's instructions to him. God's path for each one of us might be different, but he wants us to seek him To know his will and be obedient to that path he's called us to. He knows which path to lead us on to develop our character, to strengthen us in the areas of our weakness, and keep us away from sin that could entangle us. And this psalmist said, I have stored your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. And he believes the correct response to all this revelation that he's gotten from reading God's word is to obey. And he believes that all this word that he's been studying and reading is strengthening his resolve so that when he gets into a temptation in sin, he can stand up to the temptation. And sometimes we cannot just think, I'll memorize God's word, I'll hide it in my heart. But we have to let God's word strengthen us so we can resist sin. And we also must get understanding so that the enemy doesn't come and snatch the truth of God's word away. As I reflect on the last several years of my life, the seasons that have been very beneficial were seasons when I was really taking time to read God's word. Reading God's word helped me in a lot of areas. It strengthened me and it gave me courage to do things that I couldn't do before and to say things that I couldn't say before. And it also gave me courage to face the conversation that God was wanting to have with me. There was areas of my life that needed breakthroughs because there were roots deep down inside of me, including godlessness and a complaining spirit and some habits that were not godly. And the general conversation that I may not have been wanting to have, God was speaking to me personally through his word. I had heard these whispers, but found it difficult to accept at times. And it was through hearing the preaching of the word and taking the responsibility to seek God personally and read his word for myself that I was able to see who I really am. God's word spoke and helped me to humble myself so I could receive the truth. John Owen, who is a person who studies the Bible, he said, meditating on God's word and prayer particularly opposes indwelling sin. It will cut us deep. God's word will expose us, and it will let him do his work in us. And he said that this is what it means to have a relationship with God. And we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to come before God and his word to let it sink in deep? And Gary Miller, who is another Bible theologian, he asked this question to leaders at a seminar. He said, do you expect God's word to expose you and then to provide the healing transformation experience that God's word wants to bring? And this is what God's word really wants to do for all of us, to expose us and to restore us. And the psalmist in this Psalm tonight, he experienced God afflicting him, confronting him, and he was able to get those bitter roots of whatever the bitter roots were, doubt, complaining. And the psalmist was able to become teachable after that. He was able to have a sincere, clear perspective of God. And because he had a right perspective of God, that God is fair and just, he was able to praise God with a sincere heart. And the psalmist was able to become teachable. And for all of us, you know, the psalmist got on a path of following God wholeheartedly. And that's what he wanted for the readers of this passage. And he believed that God's word is his direct conversation that he has with us. And my reflection tonight is, if I would have been left the way I was, I would have wandered further away, because sin The stays in us corrupts us. That's what sin does, it corrupts. But in every area that God redeemed, there's a blessedness and a godliness that he can develop. So tonight, I close with these two questions. Do we really expect God to speak to us when we read his word? Do we expect him to confront us, to expose areas that are bitter, that we're holding against him, that's preventing us from growing? And are we ready to have this conversation with God? And do we believe that God's path, God's will is good for our lives? Do we believe that? And if we don't believe it, are we willing to confront it? Psalm 119 is a celebration of the internal work that God does in our hearts, so that we're not merely transformed on the outside, appearing religious, but we're transformed on the inside. The psalmist gained something better. And the something better that he gained was that he gained joy and he learned how to love God and obey his word. Let's pray. God, we want to come before you tonight. And we know that your word, your law, was your revelation that you gave to your people, guidelines to teach us how to love you, to teach us how to love you back the way that you've loved us. And sometimes we cannot love you the way you desire to be loved because we have wrong perception of you and the wrong perception of your will for our lives. And God, we want to come before you tonight. And we just want to ask you, God, to draw us to read your word, God. We know there's things that you continually want to say to us every day. And we pray, God, that we would truly be open and we would truly be strengthened by your word and that we would truly learn to treasure your word and to be devoted to you and live lives of obedience. We ask that you would come tonight, God, and you would minister your truth to each one of us, God, in the areas that we may be stuck. We ask that you would come right now and minister your word, minister to your people. And we thank you, God, for your faithfulness to us when we were not faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd just like to invite anyone to just come before God right now and just pray anything that's in your heart. There's many needs that the world and the country and people we know are facing. There's many people who are having adversity. And I just invite each one of us to take a moment to reflect on the needs and just come before God and asking for his guidance and his help and his mercy.
Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and thank you for your word. We want to thank you, dear Lord, that you have always opened this door, Lord, for us to hear you, to understand your ways. And you speak to us, Lord, in the power of your spirit and of your grace. Dear Lord, we pray that we will realize, dear God, that we have to listen, Lord, in order to help us see, help us understand, and most of all, help us know you, Lord. There is so much to you that can help us, dear Lord. We also pray that as we heard in the word, there are times your word may pierce us, Lord, but it is also the balm that heals us, Lord. It's like the surgeon's scalpel that removes the things that is undesirable, so that we may flourish, dear God. So, Lord, we pray that there will be a breakthrough in this church, in our lives, as to our response to your word. That you would, Lord, teach us and guide us. That you would bless, Lord, our daily reading of your word. That you will bless the pulpit ministry. That you will bless the teaching of your word, Lord, in every meeting, in every setting, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we pray that we will have that confidence, Lord, that as you created the world through your word, you are restoring all things through your word. What you say, Lord, will not pass, Lord. All things will pass away except your word. And we pray, Lord, that we may have that perspective, that belief, that these words are spoken by you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. These words come with full authority and clarity, dear Lord. Let us pray, Lord Father, that we can find joy knowing that you will fulfill your word. Let us find hope, Lord, knowing that you never change, Lord, your word. So bless us and lead us, Lord, in these truths. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we can come together in prayer. We want to thank you even as we listen to your word and we proclaim your name, dear Lord. We know we are strengthened. We know, Lord, that we have hope. We know that you are a shepherd and you will guide us, dear Lord, through this situation, through everything, dear Lord. But most of all, Lord, we are glad, Lord, that we know your heart. And as we consider the situation, we are not just thinking about ourselves, but thinking about the many different people who go through many different challenges in your own life, dear Lord, especially those who are poor and in need, dear Lord. We also, Lord, begin to realize that as much as this pandemic is an issue, Lord, but the problem of greed and selfishness is a greater sickness that is keeping, Lord, a lot of good things from taking place, dear Lord. And we pray that you would deliver our nation from these things, dear Lord. That greed, Lord, will not blind and consume us, Lord. But your kindness, your justice, and your mercy will take hold of our hearts. We pray, Lord, that we will be strong and courageous, that we will be confident that you love us, that in the midst of these challenges, you will carry us through, Lord, because of your great love. But let us, Lord, seize this opportunity to shine with your goodness. Bless every person, Lord, in their homes, in their workplaces. I pray, Lord, that all of us be confident that we have a word, Lord, for those around us. We have a testimony, dear Lord, for those around us. And we will, Lord, proclaim your goodness, Lord. And that you would anoint us, Lord, and fill us with the Holy Spirit so that others may know that you are Lord. Bless your people, Lord. Keep us, Lord, in your love, in your goodness, Lord. Father, we just lift up the many nations that are going through challenges, especially what's happening in India. We pray, Lord, Father, again, trusting, Lord, in your wisdom, in your mercy. We pray, Lord, for good governance. We pray for healing. We pray for deliverance. We pray, Lord, Father, for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Especially those, Lord, who I need, who are without any resource, Lord. We pray that you open doors, that you bless, that you heal, that you would, Lord, bring, Lord, your glory, your salvation into this nation, Lord, in this time. We thank you, dear Lord, that we can gather now in your name. We just pray that you continue to lead us throughout this week, that you continue to speak to our hearts, that you move us, Lord, to spend some time, Lord, just meditating on your words, hiding your words, Lord, in our hearts. We thank you for everything you've done. Bless every person. Keep us in your love, dear Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.